Hello and welcome to BioRevise, the podcast that gets you exam ready one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in OCR GCSE biology, the control of body temperature, also known as thermoregulation. This sits in section 5.5 of the specification, and it comes up in exams more often than you might think. So stick with me because by the end of this episode, you'll be able to answer even the trickiest 6-mark questions with confidence. Let's start with the big picture. Why does your body temperature matter so much? Well, your body is essentially a collection of thousands of chemical reactions happening every second, reactions controlled by enzymes. And here's the key thing. Enzymes are incredibly sensitive to temperature. The enzymes in your body work best at around 37 degrees Celsius. Go too far above that and the enzyme's shape changes, it denatures, and it stops working. Go too far below and the reactions slow down dangerously. So maintaining that 37-degree sweet spot isn't just comfortable, it's essential for survival. This is why thermoregulation is a form of homeostasis, the process of keeping your internal conditions stable regardless of what's happening in the outside world. Now, let's talk about who's in charge of all this. The answer is the hypothalamus, a small but incredibly powerful region of your brain. Think of the hypothalamus as your body's thermostat. It does two critical things. First, it contains thermoreceptors, specialized receptor cells that continuously monitor the temperature of the blood flowing through the brain. Second, it acts as the coordinator. When it detects a change from the set point of 37 degrees, it sends nerve signals out to the rest of the body to trigger a corrective response. This is a really important point for the exam. The hypothalamus is both the receptor and the coordinator. It detects the change and it sends the instructions. Candidates who only mention the skin as the receptor miss a crucial mark. So let's walk through what actually happens when your body gets too hot. Imagine you've just finished a PE lesson on a warm day. Your core temperature starts to rise above 37 degrees. The thermoreceptors in your hypothalamus detect this increase in blood temperature. The hypothalamus then sends signals to two main effectors, the sweat glands and the arterioles in your skin. First, the sweat glands. They start producing more sweat, a watery fluid that is secreted onto the surface of your skin. Now here's where a lot of students lose marks. They say, sweating cools you down and leave it there. That's not enough. You need to explain the mechanism. When sweat evaporates from the surface of your skin, it takes heat energy with it, transferring that thermal energy from your body to the surroundings. The key word is evaporation. It's the change of state from liquid to gas that requires energy, and that energy comes from your skin, cooling it down. So always say, sweat evaporates, transferring heat energy from the skin to the surroundings. The second response involves your arterioles, the small blood vessels that supply the capillary networks in your skin. When you're too hot, these arterioles dilate, they get wider. This is called vasodilation. When the arterioles are wider, more blood flows through the capillaries close to the skin surface. Because blood is warm and the skin surface is cooler than the blood, heat is lost by radiation from the skin to the surrounding air. You might notice your skin looks flushed or red when you're hot. That's exactly this process in action. More blood near the surface means more heat radiating away. Now, a critical exam point here. Never, ever write that blood vessels move closer to the skin or that capillaries constrict. Examiners will not award marks for those statements. The correct language is arterioles dilate, or arterioles constrict. The vessels don't move, their diameter changes. This is one of the most common mistakes in this topic, and it costs students marks every single year. Now let's flip it around. What happens when you're too cold? Perhaps you've been standing outside on a winter morning waiting for the school bus. Your core temperature starts to drop. Again, the thermoreceptors in the hypothalamus detect this fall in blood temperature, and the hypothalamus coordinates the response. This time, the arterioles constrict, they get narrower. This is vasoconstriction. Less blood flows through the skin capillaries, which means less heat is lost by radiation from the skin surface. The blood is essentially being redirected away from the skin and kept deeper in the body, closer to the vital organs. The second cold response is shivering. Your skeletal muscles begin to contract and relax rapidly and involuntarily. That's the shivering you feel. Now, why does this help? Because muscle contraction requires energy. And that energy comes from cellular respiration. Respiration is an exothermic reaction. It releases heat energy as a byproduct. So shivering generates heat internally, helping to raise your core temperature back toward 37 degrees. For the exam, you must make this chain explicit. Shivering equals rapid muscle contraction, which requires respiration, which releases heat energy. Miss any link in that chain and you miss the mark. There's also a third cold response, palorection. This is when the tiny hair erector muscles in your skin contract, pulling the hairs upright to create goosebumps. In other mammals with thick fur, this traps a layer of insulating air close to the skin. In humans, however, we don't have enough body hair for this to be significantly effective as an insulator. Examiners know this, so if a question asks about significant thermoregulatory mechanisms in humans, palorection is worth mentioning, but should be qualified as having limited effect compared to other mammals. All of these responses, whether for heat or cold, work through the same underlying principle, negative feedback. This is the mechanism by which the body detects a deviation from the set point and triggers responses that bring conditions back to normal. The word negative here doesn't mean bad, it means the response opposes the change. Temperature goes up, the body responds to bring it down. Temperature goes down, the body responds to bring it up. The system is self-correcting, and once the temperature returns to 37 degrees, the hypothalamus detects this and the corrective responses switch off. That's the beauty of negative feedback. It's automatic, continuous, and precise. Now let's talk exam technique. This is where I want you to really focus. For a 6-mark level of response question on thermoregulation, you need a structured answer. The best structure to use is stimulus, receptor, coordinator, effector, response. So for a question like, explain how the body responds when core temperature rises above normal, you would say, the stimulus is the rise in blood temperature above 37 degrees. The receptor is the thermoreceptors in the hypothalamus, which detect this change. The coordinator is the hypothalamus, which sends nerve signals to the effectors. The effectors are the sweat glands and arterioles. The responses are, sweat glands secrete sweat, which evaporates and transfers heat energy to the surroundings, and arterioles dilate, increasing blood flow through skin capillaries, increasing heat loss by radiation. That structure, with correct terminology throughout, will earn you top marks in a level of response question. For shorter questions, 1 or 2 marks, be precise and use the exact vocabulary. Arterioles dilate, not blood vessels open up. Sweat evaporates, not you sweat more. Hypothalamus, not the brain. Though the hypothalamus is in the brain, the examiner wants the specific structure. Watch out for these common mistakes. Number 1, saying capillaries constrict or dilate. It's arterioles. Number 2, describing sweating without explaining evaporation. Number 3, forgetting to mention the hypothalamus as the coordinator. Number 4, saying the body temperature is always exactly 37. It's approximately 37 and it fluctuates slightly. Number 5, confusing negative feedback with positive feedback. In positive feedback, the response amplifies the change rather than reversing it. Blood clotting is an example of positive feedback. Thermoregulation is always negative feedback. Now, let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then unpause to hear the response. Question 1. What is the name of the brain region that acts as the thermoregulatory center? Pause now. The answer is the hypothalamus. Question 2. What is the correct term for arterioles getting wider in response to heat? Pause now. The answer is vasodilation. Question 3. What physical process causes sweat to cool the skin? Pause now. The answer is evaporation. Sweat evaporates, transferring heat energy from the skin to the surroundings. Question 4. Why does shivering generate heat? Pause now. The answer is rapid muscle contraction requires respiration, which is an exothermic reaction that releases heat energy. Question 5. What type of feedback mechanism controls thermoregulation? Pause now. The answer is negative feedback. The response opposes the change and returns conditions to the set point. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections of your notes. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points to take away from today's episode. 1. Thermoregulation is a form of homeostasis that maintains core body temperature at approximately 37 degrees Celsius, which is the optimum temperature for enzyme activity. 2. The hypothalamus is the thermoregulatory center. It detects changes in blood temperature via thermoreceptors and coordinates the response via nerve signals. 3. In hot conditions, arterioles dilate, increasing blood flow to skin capillaries and increasing heat loss by radiation. Sweat glands also increase secretion, and evaporation of sweat transfers heat energy to the surroundings. 4. In cold conditions, arterioles constrict, reducing blood flow to skin capillaries and reducing heat loss. Shivering causes rapid muscle contraction, which requires respiration, releasing heat energy. 5. All thermoregulatory responses operate through negative feedback. Responses oppose the change and return temperature to the set point. 6. Always use precise vocabulary in your answers. Arterioles dilate or constrict, not blood vessels move. Sweat evaporates, not just sweating occurs. That's it for today's episode of BioRevise. You've covered everything you need to know about thermoregulation for your OCR GCSE biology exam. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.